This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
Yeah, we were sitting around thinking about what people needed to hear this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized, although most of our listeners are probably settled in what they want to do this year, there's always folks that look around and say, oh, no, my son got that teacher.
Well, you know, we've been homeschool support leaders, and we've been on state homeschooling boards and things for years and years and years and years. And the phone calls that always chilled my blood were the ones that started out, I pulled my child out of school on Monday. Where do I get the books?
Yes.
You know, there are people who will, you know, jump into homeschooling without really giving it a thought. They've got to be in their bonnet. But then there's a lot of reasons that you might start homeschooling
unexpectedly.
Suddenly, accidentally almost.
Well, these are the things I have heard lately.
Okay.
Okay.
Like
there were two teachers at the school. One was fantastic, one was horrible. Your child got assigned to the horrible one that his brother had a year of horror with.
Okay.
You know, that's a good reason. Another reason might be you moved to a new area and your children were in Christian school. There's not a Christian school there.
Or maybe you got moved out of a good school district into a sketchy school district. Or maybe you've got a child who's developed a problem. Maybe they've gotten sick or they've been injured in some way and they're going to be homebound for a time.
Or you've realized that they have a learning disability that the school's not meeting their needs.
Or maybe there's a problem with bullies and in an intractable disciplinary situation that you just can't resolve to protect your child.
I talked to a mom at a conference in California about that. Her child was being bullied, and I told her, get him out now. She said, the school starts Monday. I said, there's no better time.
Like physically assaulted.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, and we don't need to go into details. Yeah. But the point being, sometimes you look at that child and say, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do the best thing for my child. And right now it means getting out of the current situation, and we're going to start homeschooling until we figure things out.
So this is our basic emergency guide. What do you do when you realize you need to homeschool and you hadn't planned to be there? Okay.
Because it does happen, and you may have a very good reason. This may be the best thing you could do.
Yes.
Okay, so where do we start with that? Well, I guess you got to ask yourself, who am I going to be teaching?
Well,
you know, you got to say,
yeah,
this child is different than other children. He's my child.
And you need to decide, are you going to homeschool just him, or are you going to homeschool everybody?
Yeah.
Now, if you can, I recommend you homeschool everybody.
Well, I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, well, I had a child with a learning disability. We brought him home and he was doing so well that his brothers and sisters begged me to bring them home too.
Well, and part of it is just that the homeschool schedule and the school schedule don't mesh well, because the time that kids get out of school is in the middle of afternoon activities for homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got some in school and some not, you can do that. But it's hard because you're leaving this event early to go to this one and leaving that one early to go to another one.
Yeah.
And so decide who you're going to homeschool.
Right.
And then
okay,
you've got to make it right with the authorities in your area.
And that's one of the reasons that we really encourage people, get in touch with Homeschool Legal Defense Association and find out your state organization, because they are the people who keep tabs on the law. They keep tabs on the regulations and the regulators that you've got to meet with.
Okay, now let's make it more explicit than that, Hal.
Okay.
Okay, first, make sure husband and wife are agreed on this. Okay, because both of you need to agree that you're going to try this year.
This is really a big thing, because homeschooling is really a lifestyle change, and it's going to impact everything and everybody.
So make sure you're both in agreement.
Right.
And then go to hslda.org.
That's Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And we'll need to put this up on the show page.
Yeah, we'll put it on the show page as a link.
Mm-hmm.
And then look under Quick Navigation and click My State. Okay.
And that will tell you if you are in Massachusetts or Manitoba or It'll tell you to find out what state you live in, what are the laws, what are the regulations you've got to meet.
Click on your state, mm-hmm. and once you've clicked on your state, it'll explain the law to you.
Yeah.
Okay? And in fact, it asks you to sign up for free updates. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do that. It's not a problem. They're not going to spam you, okay?
No, they're good people. You can trust them.
But sign up. They'll explain the state law to you. And the first most urgent thing you need to do is comply with your state law. In most states, it's really easy. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of filling out a one-page form. Okay.
Well, yeah, and like in our own state, I mean, the homeschool regulation is really pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward to follow. The thing that you have to be careful about, though, is make sure you follow the rules to be legitimately homeschooling and therefore being exempt from the compulsory attendance law. That's right. The key thing, because, you know, you don't want to be labeled truant when you're teaching your heart out at home. So you just want to make sure that you've dotted the I's and crossed the T's and things to make sure that the school authorities and the truancy authorities know, hey, this person has made other arrangements for their child's education.
So comply with your state law.
Okay.
And then if your child has been in school, you'll need to withdraw from the school they're in. Mm-hmm. And you just write a letter telling them that you're homeschooling, that you're complying with the law.
Mm-hmm.
If they give you something from your state oversight body, send a copy of that. And then take it to the school and ask for a receipt. Okay?
And there are, a couple of things on this. You are totally within your rights. Okay?
Yeah.
You don't need to beg and plead and ask it as a favor. You are in your rights to go get this. However, there's a lot of benefit to doing it as peacefully and as politely as possible, because these folks can cause a lot of struggle if you get on the wrong side.
Yeah, and if you don't want to go into the school, you can send it to them, but send it certified mail, return receipt requested. You want some proof that you properly withdrew your child.
Exactly.
Okay, so once that's done, once you're straight with the school district and you're straight with your homeschool law,
right?
Then we suggest you join HSLDA. In fact, you can join HSLDA before that,
mm-hmm.
because they are great for helping you navigate these things. If you have any trouble, they'll defend you, and mm-hmm. they protect your homeschool freedoms.
Right.
You also want to join your state homeschooling organization. This is usually very inexpensive,
mm-hmm.
but they will keep you up to date on what's going on in your state. They help protect your homeschool law in your state.
Yeah.
And they also will have a list of support groups in your area, co-ops and other homeschool families that you can meet with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you really need to join a local homeschool support group.
This is something we can't stress enough, because the local support group is, that's the go-to people to say, what in the world am I doing next?
Yes.
Can somebody please give me a picture of what this is? You know, this is where you get folks who will come alongside of you and say, well, look, this is how you manage this particular question. This is the kind of curriculum I'm using. You might look for something like this, you know, that they'll answer your questions, because really this is something that's been in the homeschool movement from the very beginning. We work to help each other out.
Yes.
You know, we share with each other. We try to make sure that each other, as much as we can help one another, is successful. Because,
yes.
You know what? Your success as a homeschooler reflects on everybody else. And if you're floundering around without help and nobody's there to give you a hand and you struggle, that struggle reflects on us too. And so we want to help you out. So please, you know, go find your local support group and get connected up.
Now, once you're connected with everybody,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's in agreement here, then you've got to have some curriculum.
Okay.
Now, it is really tempting to say, how can I get hold of the curriculum they're using in the schools? But I really don't recommend that.
Well, okay, here's a fundamental thing. We found this out when we first started homeschooling. We got to go to the school book depository and get some of the used textbooks like they used in the public schools. And we thought, wow, free books. And we got there and we realized when we got them out, these were the most boring things ever.
They really are.
They were terrible. I mean, they were just like mind-killing. And we thought, how can we inflict this on our kids when we've got so many great opportunities?
You see, the textbooks they use in the schools are the ones that were the compromise that your state curriculum committee could agree on. And so they tend to be bland. They tend to be very PC.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not written in such a way that they're easy to teach. And so what you want to do is you want to go find some stuff that was written for homeschoolers, because it's written for moms to teach.
A lot of them are written so the students can do a lot of their own instruction.
Oh, yes. And so, what do you do? Well, if you have friends at homeschool, that's easy. You can say, hey, can you hook me up with some curriculum? Help me know what to do. Okay.
Right.
Another thing is to look for a homeschool store in your area. You know, in the area that we live, there's a wonderful homeschool store where you can go and you can handle different curriculum. You can spend all day there. In fact, they employ people to be curriculum counselors.
And don't get discouraged if you find that there's not one nearby. I mean,
you might have to drive a ways.
You might have to drive a ways. Or you might find another source, like sometimes Christian bookstores have a homeschooling section. But again, going back to that support group, that's your real resource to look at things and ask people about, you know, because everybody's got their own choices.
You can ask a couple of homeschooling friends, can I come over and look at your stuff?
Yeah.
And once you look at two or three friends' stuff, then you can order what you want online.
Okay.
And so, but you got to get curricula, and you're thinking, oh, what do I do? Okay, don't panic, because you know what? This first year, you're learning so much. And you're
the parent, the parent teacher.
You're learning how your kids learn.
Uh-huh.
You're learning where they are academically. You can't really even tell by the grade they're in. You know, you're going to learn so much this year. And unless they're in high school, don't freak out over it. Because when you can start to choose curriculum next year, you're going to just know so much more. It's going to be so much easier how.
You know, another thing, too, is if you're in this situation where you're homeschooling unexpectedly, you may be coming out of some sort of dysfunctional situation.
Yes.
You know, you might have had a child who was struggling in school with a learning disability or was traumatized by schoolyard bullies or by a bad teacher or something. You know, a lot of that first year is almost like recovery and rebuilding.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that some more in a minute.
All right, we'll come back to that.
But let's talk, okay, so what do you need curriculum-wise? Okay, if your child is less than high school age.
Yeah, we'll just stipulate middle school or younger at this point.
Okay, you're going to need something basic in language arts. That means reading, writing, spelling, something language arts.
Right.
And that can be different programs put together or one language arts program.
Right.
You're going to need something in math.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to need those things to be pretty much on their level. And I recognize you may not even really know what their level is now.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a copy of their test scores, that might help. Or you might just have to try it and see. Some curriculum publishers, like Saxon Publishers, have tests online.
Okay.
Where you can kind of figure out where your child is.
Okay.
Okay. But you're going to need something in language arts and math at a minimum. And reading, writing, math.
Okay.
You're going to need to spend some time in the Word of God with your kids. You know, every day, open up the Bible, read to them, pray with them, maybe sing with them.
Well, this is important from a couple of standpoints. One of them just, it's the right thing to do as a Christian parent, but also recognize that when you're homeschooling, this is your opportunity to do some serious discipleship with your kids.
Yes.
In a way that they'll never get, even in a bricks and mortar school that's run by Christians. They're not going to get the kind of one-on-one attention from somebody who loves them better than life itself. And who knows that child for sure.
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, this is one of the main reasons we found for continuing homeschooling is that you get to spend all that extra time talking with your kids about the Lord, drawing analogies out of Scripture, showing them how the world and cultures and science and everything else all fit together under God's plan. So, yeah, start the day with Scripture. And you know what? Keep continuing during the day. Mention it whenever you see an opportunity.
Okay, so you need something, language arts and math. Now, what about all that other stuff? What about history and science and that stuff? You know what?
You know, the neat thing about that is at the lower grades, a lot of times they overlap.
You can combine your kids.
You can have kids in two or three different grade levels using the same basic history material.
Same history, same science. In fact, that's a great way to build their love of learning and to encourage family unity. Because let's say you're gonna study birds,
okay,
this year in science. Maybe you can grab like we love Apologia and grab an Apologia elementary science textbook on flying creatures.
Okay,
and you can order an owl pellet to dissect and see what the owl has been eating.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact your county extension agent and ask them, do they have incubators that you can incubate some chicken eggs. Lots of times they will give you, they will loan you the incubator, give you the eggs, and take back the chicks when you're done.
That was fun. We did that a time or two.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can, other flying things, you can raise butterflies.
That was fun.
You can buy books to help them identify birds. You can let them build a birdhouse. Mm-hmm. You can have them, let them do a bird feeder. You know, there's,
and those are things that are not grade specific.
No, all your kids can do that stuff together, and it will help them to develop a relationship that they haven't had before.
Which is really, really neat.
It's fun, because that's one of the things that is, that you're going to have to do in homeschooling. If your kids have been in school especially, you're going to have to restore their love of learning. Because most kids have decided that, that learning is a chore. That it's boring, hard work, it's dull. And, you know, when you get them home, then you can, oh, it's just really exciting. You can help them see that learning is fun, mm-hmm. that learning about new things is exciting and can spark their curiosity.
And as you mentioned, you may be seeing new levels of relationship between your children. You know, if they've been in school for 2 or 3 years and, you know, this one's in grade 5 and this one's in grade 3 and this one's just starting in grade 1, then they're apart from each other so much and they're thinking so much apart from one another that when you stir them all back together into your family, you might find that there's unexpected friendships develop.
Now, look, don't get discouraged, though. Yeah. Don't get discouraged if they struggle, you know, with their relationships with each other and with you. Because, you know, y'all just haven't been together as much as this.
No, and they've been used to having this idea of like, well, if me and Mom are having a bad day, at least I'm going to get on the bus and I don't have to listen to her when I get away to school.
Oops.
Yeah. And maybe Mom has been thinking this same thing. Said, boy, this child's difficult. I can't wait to drop him off at the curb so I can get some peace. Well, that does mean you're probably going to be dealing with, you know, reestablishing some relationship between the parent and the child. Maybe dealing with some discipline issues that you've swept under the rug or didn't know about. And that's a positive thing.
It is.
That's a good thing.
And getting those sibling relationships right. And, you know, it may be wise to take a break, a month or even more, away from the written work and start doing some projects together and rebuild relationships first. That's okay.
Well, one phrase that you'll hear in the homeschooling circles, and this is a great time to look at it, is unit studies. Because what do you do in a in a unit study kind of program is you'll pick something and that will be your whole subject for a time.
Right.
Like you might decide you're going to study outer space for a time, and everything you do is going to be related to space. You're going to read about space. You're going to think about and talk about space. You're going to go to planetariums and field trips and all. And it's all going to be in one big, you know, package like that, which is a really easy way to blend in students from different ages.
Yes.
And to kind of do things as a family that are not all schoolish.
And it can be a good way to kick off the year.
Right.
You know, that's one thing that people tend to panic about. How can I get it all done? You know, they look at the book. They don't know how much they're supposed to do. Folks, it's not that easy. It's not that hard. A typical school year is 40 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so get out your books, open them up, look at the title, at the table of contents. Okay. How many lessons are you going to have to do each week to get it done in 40 weeks? Now, I recommend you plan for 36 weeks so you have some fudge factor there. So
right.
When you don't get it done, you have some extra time to get it done. Or
yep.
To give you extra time to have fun, to do fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you look and you say, okay, well, there's 110 lessons or something. That's going to be about 3 a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's 35 lessons, that's going to be about 1 a week.
Mm-hmm.
If there's 170, that's going to be about 1 every day.
Well, I think most states stipulate like basically 180 days as a school year.
Well, they stipulate it all differently. Some say 180 days. Some say 9 calendar months,
yeah.
Excluding vacations.
Right.
Find out what your state requires.
Okay.
Okay? But, you know, just divide it up and say, okay, this is how many lessons in each of these subjects we need to get done in 1 week. And then don't plan each day until right before that week. Like, don't plan if we're going to plan for next week, I wouldn't do that 3 months ago because I don't know what my week's going to be like 3 months ago.
You could be getting over the stomach flu.
Right. Or have a bunch of doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
So instead, you want to plan for next week this week.
Yeah.
And so you don't plan the science experiment on the day you've got a doctor's appointment.
So you just basically, you look at the year and you break it up into weeks and then you plan the days 1 week in advance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you want to, that's the cool thing about homeschooling. You can adapt it to yourself. You've got a field trip planned. Then, you don't have to plan any written work that day.
You know, another thing, too, don't get into this mindset of planning every 15-minute increment during the day either.
Oh,
because,
no.
You know what, if you've got a lesson that the booklet says this takes 60 minutes, but your child's got it, your child may finish up in 30 minutes, then you don't need to hang around for another 30 minutes and let the rest of the class catch up because there isn't a rest of the class. You move, or maybe you've got a student who needs to take an hour and a half to really get it down. You know, you leave the flexibility in there. That's one of the blessings of homeschooling.
Well, you know what? We better talk about what does it look like to teach your kids at home? Because these folks, they're listening to this, didn't decide to homeschool. They haven't been reading a lot of books. Mm-hmm. You know, this is sudden.
Well,
and because
what,
I remember one mom, Hal.
Yeah.
I was a support group leader, and she came in, and she looked horrible. Mm-hmm. And I sat next to her, and I said, how's it going, honey? And she said, oh, I don't know how you do it with all your children. I'm dying teaching my four. And I said, well, what does your day look like? Well, Hal, she was a former school teacher.
Right.
And so she was getting up. She'd bought them a little desk, and she put up a blackboard. And she was teaching them all just like she had in the school. So she'd teach the first kid's math lesson, the second kid's math lesson, the third kid's math lesson, the fourth kid's math lesson. And then they'd all sit there together till all their lessons were done. It was horrible. No, do not do this.
Well, then what do you do, my dear?
Okay, it looks more like Little House on the Prairie.
Okay.
Okay, like a one-room schoolhouse.
Right.
Where you've got a list of what each child needs to do. Your older kids, you can give them the list and let them walk off and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you do some things together. We gather everybody together for devotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I'll get this child busy on something while I talk through this one's math lesson.
Right.
Then while he's doing the written part of his math work, I do phonics with the other child. It's more of a tutorial method, and it's very casual. Now, the cool thing about it is it is very efficient. If you have little kids, like second grade and under, you can get school done in less than an hour.
Okay.
Even if you have older kids, you can get school done, but the part that they need you for, definitely before lunch.
You will learn really quickly just how much time is built into the schedule for the school day because of a classroom full of different abilities.
Well, you know, if you have 30 kids in classroom,
right,
and the book tells you 12 different ways to teach this lesson, you've got to go through all 12 of those ways because it may take that for every child to get it. But if your child gets it the first time you explain it or the second time, you can stop and move on.
Exactly.
So it's just a lot more flexible.
Okay.
And it's also more casual than people imagine. Like, you know, I always pictured before we started homeschooling that we'd sit around the dining room table and I'd have my little cup of pencils and, you know, I would just talk to everybody there. And instead, we ended up mostly with me in my recliner or my comfy chair and a baby in my arms and toddlers playing in the floor and some children on the couch over here and others on the table in the dining room. And
we do have friends who do the kitchen table kind of thing, but I don't think we've ever done school on the kitchen table.
No.
It's just whatever works for you, whatever's comfortable.
Whatever works for you. Get comfortable, take breaks, get everybody up and moving, do fun things together.
Yeah.
Read aloud. Reading aloud to your kids is a great way to take a break and to get everybody's hearts headed the same direction, you know?
Okay.
This year may not be the most successful homeschool year ever for you. You know, you're dealing with a lot. If you've made this sudden decision to homeschool, you are dealing with something.
You've got a lot of baggage that's coming in through the door with you.
And it might be the baggage of moving to a new area or having to leave a school that you've been in for several years or whatever.
Right.
But you've got baggage that you've got to deal with and heal from. You're doing something new. Mm-hmm. You're all finding your way and finding your place and getting your feet under you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, you really just kind of need to accomplish three things.
Which are?
You need to get relationships right.
Okay.
Within the family, with the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get relationships right. You also have got to get the basics done. You've got to at least get language arts and math and the Bible done.
Because so much builds on those.
Because you're building on those. But you got to get those basics done. Mm-hmm. And you've got to restore the love of learning. You know, if you can manage to restore the love of learning and those extra subjects, you know, beyond the core reading, writing, arithmetic, mm-hmm. the history, science, art, music, is a great way to restore the love of learning.
Mm-hmm.
If you can accomplish those three goals, you're going to have a successful homeschool year.
So, if you are in this situation and you find yourself homeschooling quite unexpectedly and accidentally even, welcome aboard. Come on in. The water is fine.
And
we think you can really enjoy this if you just embrace it and have realistic expectations for yourself as well as your kids.
Let me give you one piece of advice before we go. All of you, the entire family, decide this is what you are going to do for one full school year.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be times you're tempted to quit.
Yeah.
But if you'll hang on, usually by the end of the school year, parents and kids don't want to quit until they hand them the diploma at the end.
And you know what? There is disruption making a transition, particularly in the middle of the school year. And the situation does not improve by transitioning back quickly. You know, you're going back across the bar.
Commit that you're going to do this for that one entire school year.
Right.
And you know what? I think you're going to be really good at it. I think you're going to love it. I think your whole family is going to love it. Now, let's share a few resources that can help them.
Okay.
Okay. If you have boys, mm-hmm. we have a book called Raising Real Men. You can find it on our website, raisingrealmen.com, that will give you a lot of help in homeschooling boys and in just raising boys.
Okay.
We have a couple of workshops you can download to give you more information about what we've talked about and taking it a little bit further. Mm-hmm. One is called Three Simple Goals for Your First Year.
Right.
And the other is called Homeschooling from the Beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find those again at our website, raisingrealmen.com. Just click on shop, scroll down to workshops and classes, okay?
Or if you're listening to this on iTunes and you think, I don't know where the show page is, it's at halandmelanie.com/radio.
And we'll put some links to these resources on that mm-hmm. so that you can go find them easily.
Or you can just come out to our website and see the whole world of stuff we carry, which is raisingrealmen.com.
Yes. And we'd love for you to connect with us on social media. We're mm-hmm. everywhere on social media /raisingrealmen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a delight talking to you. May the Lord bless you this year and make your year of unexpected homeschooling a blessing to your whole family.
All right. So we thank you for spending some time with us. We hope that everything goes well in your next endeavors. And until the next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Disciple those kids. Bye, y'all.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.